Guys, Jim Florentine's on the phone. His new special, I Got the House, is on iTunes and jimflorentine.com now. Jim, we were talking about the black hole. Did you see the picture of the black hole?
Yeah.
What did you
Are you excited about the black hole?
No, not at all.
Not an astronomy man?
I thought it was a porn.
Yeah, you know, Jim, what I was telling the fellas is, you know, like, I feel like as I get older, I hate the younger generation, and I hate their music, and I hate their philosophies. I hate everything about them. And I think that it's not that they're awful. It's that it's like the ever-growing circle. Like, you know, my dad hated my music. I'm sure his dad hated his music.
Yeah, you're supposed to, yeah.
Are you supposed to?
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, anything new, like there's some... I don't know, some new pop star, Billy Goat or something, or Billy Idol or something. And it's like, someone's playing it for me. I go, I'm not supposed to like this, so I'm not going to trash it.
So
yeah, it's not for you.
You're a big metal guy. Do you seek out new metal, or do you just stick to what you listened to like when you were 16?
No, I seek out new metal and stuff like that. But that, whatever that pop artist is, that whatever that 17-year-old girl or whatever, it's not, so I'm not even going to be like, this is awful. Cause if I was 17, I might like it if I needed to get laid.
Yeah. I feel like when we're talking about like our kids' music or our parents listening to our music, it's not necessarily that it's new music or of the time. It's anything that's popular. Like your top 40 is what people can't stand when you get a little bit older.
Jim, do you think that you've matured a little bit? Because I feel like maybe you would have completely destroyed any type of pop music. Like 10 years ago, 15 years? I mean.
No, I don't know. I just think that, you know, everybody, when you're a teenager, I liked pop music when I was a kid. Because, look, it's all tied to, especially boys and guys, it's all tied to trying to get laid when you're younger.
Right.
And, you know, I remember going to parties when I was a kid and trying to tell, you know, hot girl that I think Judas Priest is breaking up and she wanted nothing to do with me. You know what I was talking about. And she's like, get away from me, you weirdo. And then I started getting into more of like new wave at the time, you know, like goofy 80s pop shit, like, you know, the Thompson Twins or whatever, and fucking Howard Jones, because that was the shit that was popular. So then I started going like those dance clubs and got into that music so I could talk to girls.
You need a good rhythm to like rub your dick on people too.
Right. So if I was a 17-year-old kid, I'd be fucking all over Drake right now. I know every Drake song. I'd be putting it on constantly when I had a girl over or fucking rap or whatever. So I'd be in that because that's what I, you know, I need to do.
Do you feel like you learned that a little bit too late though, right? Like you're trying to rebel against this shit. It's like too popular. I don't like that. And then you're like, oh, if only I would have liked NSYNC at the time, I maybe would have got more ass.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're like, I'm not going to listen to that crap. And then you realize you go all through high school, you still haven't got laid. You're like, all right, maybe it's me. Maybe I should put down my Motorhead record.
Yeah, puts on the Joint and the Fish album.
But back to the black hole, guys. I feel like, do you remember when we don't remember when we landed on the moon. But, I mean, like, everybody appreciated that as an amazing accomplishment. And this is something, you know, 55 million light years away we've been theorizing since the 1900s and never been able to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. And as soon as it comes out, people are putting Harambe on it. No, nobody gives a shit about it. And I can't help but blame that on the kids. But maybe it's just, maybe the world has changed. Maybe I'm of a different time. Has the world
changed? Yeah, I feel it's less the kids and more of the depressed mid-30s, you know?
No, it's the world, because the news is changing so quick every 10 minutes or something else. You know, that Notre Dame fire, by tomorrow, nobody's even going to remember it.
I didn't realize that many people had such a connection to that church until it started burning.
Yeah, everybody.
Well, that's just, no, because every tourist that went over there took a picture in front of it. And then they go, let me go dig through my pictures.
Right.
All about, oh, shit. Was that 2012?
About me.
And Jim, I guess,
you know, I was there once too.
Tying this into you.
It could have been me.
Jim, tying this into you. And I know that I can kind of guess your answer is probably going to be that you don't give a shit, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. In this connected world where everyone can kind of just have things in a second, is it weird to not only live like a public life, but the majority of your work is like autobiographical? So you could go into a Subway and the guy making your sandwich could be a complete stranger to you who knows very intimate things about your life. Is that weird, or I guess do you just not give a shit?
No, well, it is weird when you go on a date with a girl, because I'm single. So they'll do research on you, so they know everything about you. They'll listen to you on a radio show or a podcast,
I didn't
or read an article, and then all your likes and dislikes, and then they'll bring it up, you know, during a conversation. You're like, okay, this girl did some research on me. She's just full of shit.
Do you ever try to throw them for a loop then? Do you like just go, you know, anything you've said publicly, do you just do the exact opposite during those dates?
Well, no, like she'll be like, oh, you know, oh man, look at that guy over at the bar. I bet he does CrossFit. I hate CrossFit. And, you know, meanwhile, I just did a podcast about how much I hate CrossFit. I'm like, okay, she did research on me. Okay, great. You know what I mean? I'm like, just be yourself. You know what I mean?
So,
you know, but they have easy access to that. So that's the one. It does bother me, because it's just like, I don't know, when I meet a girl, I don't want to know anything about her history. I'm not going to do a Google search on her. I'm not going to do a background check on her. I just want to start fresh.
Well, and I guess that kind of puts you at a disadvantage, because they kind of, I mean, your everything is pretty much out there. I mean, you could find out just about anything
but
you needed
sometimes
to.
Sometimes it's good, because then they'll just go, okay, I'm not interested in this guy. This guy's too much for me, or whatever. And then if a girl does, it goes, no, I like what he's about, you know, so they already know. So you get through all of that bullshit. So I don't have to go, let's go apple picking. Yeah. That sounds fun. You know, I don't have to do any of that shit.
And as you said, you're single. The new special kind of, explains why that is. Your new special deals primarily with your divorce. Did the material for that come quickly, or did you have to separate yourself from it a bit? Did you have to take a step back? And
yeah, when it first went down, my divorce, I had writer's block. I couldn't come up with anything for, you know, probably 2 to 3 months. And then once the floodgates opened, I had a half hour material in like a week, because it just, you know, started flowing. It just took a while.
Was that after the
alimony? Gonna get that break
after you started making the alimony payments? That's when it all cleared up.
Something like that. Yeah, I think when I cut that last check, you know, when you got a divorce lawyer, it was $375 an hour, and you send that last check off, then you can relax.
And
go, all right, now I got to start.
As the material progresses, do you like just kind of go, and another thing, and then just go on another tangent on something that you thought of after the fact?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when I first started doing it, I was really angry, because, you know, it's raw. Your emotions are raw and stuff. And it took about a year to kind of smooth it over, where it wasn't as angry when I finally filmed it.
Well, it's got to be a lot like therapy, right? Where you're working it out and you know you have the beats that you want to touch on, and then all of a sudden it triggers another memory or another emotion, and it's like, oh, I got to get this out too.
Yeah, and then I realized after about a year I didn't care about it anymore. Like, I was moving on from it. I was kind of over it. So the material wasn't working as well, because I wasn't as passionate about it. So I'm just like, I don't give a shit. All right, my marriage is over. Who cares? I got the whole house to myself. I'm good. This is fucking great. So I said, I got to film this now before I start really, the material really doesn't stop working at all, you know?
It's a weird thing. And I mean, like, I can relate to it on a very small level, doing the weekly podcast. I'm, of course, not comparing what I do to what you do, but do you feel like if nothing happens, that's a good thing for your life, but it's a bad thing for your career? So it's kind of, I mean, like, in a way, I'm sure that you'd rather these things didn't happen to you, but at the same time, you got a great special out of it. So,
no, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as like, a songwriter or something like that, they always say like a divorce or a breakup of a relationship is always good for songwriting or something. But yeah, it just sucks going through it. You know, sometimes like, I need a break. Can I just have like 5 years of peace? before some other shit comes up that I got to deal with and I got to write another special about.
Yeah, it's like the fifth Korn album. It's like, okay, he's not mad anymore. Now we're just singing goofy stuff about how we want to make a new single.
Make a single. It was so good when he was so mad.
Make a single about making a single.
Well, that was the record company basically saying, listen, we need a single from you guys, you know, because you guys are kind of going underground now. You know, they already established their base, Korn, at that point. They're like, look, we just want to do what the fuck we want to do. We already got all the hits under our belt. We're set. Now we really want to be what we want to be. And they're like, we need a single. So like, okay. So then they did that song.
You want a single? Fuck that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, look, everybody had a fuck you song back in, you know, in the mid-2000s. Every band did.
It was like a rite of passage, I think, in that like rap metal era.
It was, of course. It started with Rage Against the Machine, killing in the name of, you know, fuck you, won't do what you tell me. And, you know, everybody had to have one.
So the world has changed. The kids are fine. I guess that's the message that we're getting is we're
required. Getting back to the black hole, it's just like everything is moving so fast with, you know, social media where, you know, things are popping up every hour, you know, any kind of tragedy or any kind of big death that some big superstar dies in 2 or 3 days, nobody's talking about it anymore because everything's moving so quick and you just, you know, you're addicted to your phone and there's so much information on there. So when the black hole thing comes out, you think, oh man, nobody gives a shit because they're onto something else.
Right.
Something else happened and then something else in another day. I always tell a comic if they're going through some shit and it's, you know, it's out there in the media, I go, don't worry about it. I go, in two or three days, some celebrity's going to do something fucking crazy and nobody's going to be thinking about what just happened with you.
Well, because
I'm going to blow over.
Just everything's a knee-jerk reaction now, right? So we don't actually process any information. We just want to comment on it as soon as it happens so people know that we have something to say about what just happened. And then we wait for the next thing. That's how James Gunn can get hired back onto Guardians of the Galaxy 3 after like 6 months of people like freaking out.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, that's right. Did he? How long? That was a while ago that we didn't like him. Oh, he's back. Yeah, whatever. There's been 75 million things that have happened since then. Even like that Game of Thrones shit on Sunday night. Like I went on Twitter and I don't watch that. So it's like the whole thing was all about that. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And I just shut it off. And now nobody's talking about it. Like, you know, what happened on Sunday on Game of Thrones, the premiere episode, you know, because it's 2 or 3 days later. On Sunday, more people be talking about it. But right now, nobody gives a shit.
That's the thing. I was all about Game of Thrones Sunday night. And since then, I've watched an episode of Sopranos, two episodes of the new Netflix show Black Summer and some other random shit. And I can't even remember what happened in Game of Thrones.
How was Black Summer?
I'm only an episode and a half into it, but it's actually really good. It's everything you maybe liked about The Walking Dead without all the shit that you hated about it.
No, I never watched The Walking Dead.
It's like the peak of the zombie apocalypse is just happening, and it's watching humanity like try to figure out what the hell's happening and how to deal with it. And it's, you know, just essentially it's just chaos is what it is. It's pretty good. I recommend it.
I have a theory on a zombie apocalypse.
I'd like to hear it.
Okay. When was the last one? Because a lot of people think the zombie apocalypse is coming.
I think it was 2016 after the last presidential election.
I thought it was 2014. And then the one before that was what, like 1998?
Well, 2000 got
wiped out.
I think it was 1998, yep, and then we rebuilt from there. We're a couple of decades removed, so I think we're doing good.
Right, and then I think it was 72. I was a little kid, maybe.
Yeah, I wasn't born yet. My mom told me about it, though.
Okay, yeah, because it happens, I don't know, every, like, 15, 20 years we have one.
It seems like it.
Every comedian had a zombie apocalypse joke.
Did you ever have one?
For a while.
Did you have one?
Well,
no.
If I did, I'd say it's never happening. It's not happening, okay? There's never been a documented case of it happening.
Well, what about that guy in Florida that ate that person's face? I thought that's when it was going to start happening.
High on drugs. He was doing that fucking wacka shit or whatever.
That's that bad. It was only one guy. Get that.
One guy ate one guy. Jeffrey Dahmer ate four guys.
Jeffrey Dahmer ate more guys.
Travis, you were going to ask.
Great was Jeffrey Dahmer? Like, how great was Jeffrey Dahmer that he'd bring a guy's head in a bowling bag to work and put it in his locker when he worked in the factory?
The balls. The balls of that guy.
That's like true love, though, I know. Right?
I know. I mean, like, you know, you probably should leave that in your refrigerator. You know what I mean? Till you get home.
But you've been in a new relationship before, right? Where you like just can't wait to see them again. Like, if you know, you want to call them, you want to hear their voice, you want to see their eye. You know, I mean, I could see if he was really into them, like he did not want to leave their side.
Like, he just wanted to get caught, though, right? Like, he was just, he was doing that because of like, oh man, the rush of putting the head in a bowling ball and putting it in the locker and letting it be there all day. And probably people would say stuff in the break room like, boy, it really, what's that smell? Like,
this Dahmer brought smell. That disgusting lunch again.
And they were just like, he was just jerking off because he heard people mentioning that there was a weird smell by the lockers, you know?
Do you think it is in his lunch break, he went and unzipped it and just said, hey, you.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you know,
Jim,
you know, it's lunchtime. We'll be home in 4 hours.
They just announced that that Crank Yankers is coming back. Is that something that you're involved with in any way, or maybe?
Yeah,
we don't know.
Yeah. We didn't start taping yet, but yeah, I'm involved.
Just told me about this before the show. I was mentioning how much in love with that show I was at the time, and that I wanted to talk to you about that because I wanted to know if there was conversations about bringing that show back, because I wonder if it can work now with, you know, with how everybody's. I know typically that show didn't like go out of its way to be offensive or anything, but pretty much anything nowadays is offensive. And I was trying to think back, like, how would it work without people rebelling against it? But then Mike said, oh, no, they're bringing it back. That's super exciting.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You know, look, I mean, it's through puppets, so you can get away with a little more when it's animated or puppets. So I don't know. You know, we haven't started filming or anything like that. They just said, look, you're obviously going to be part of the show. You're one of the original cast members, and we'll get in touch soon, and we're going to start recording. So that's all I know at this point. But, you know, I did two characters on the special, Ed and Bobby Fletcher. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. Look, you know, the bottom line is, look, I'm in comedy clubs all the time, all across the country and stuff. And all the media is pretty much driving this narrative that everyone's offended by everything. It is not going on in comedy clubs at all. People are not walking out. People like when it's edgy, dark shit. They're not like, oh, and, you know, running. There's not people running for the door when you do kind of, you know, some kind of edgy shit that, you know, if you did it on Twitter, people would go crazy over. So, you know, it's real middle America and pretty much everywhere except for, you know, these, you know, New York and L.A. and San Francisco and Seattle. It's okay. Everybody's doing whatever the hell they want to do, and people still have a sense of humor and are laughing about it.
I guess the people that are going to comedy clubs are your people. So it's...
Well, they also, you know, I asked the comedy club owners, though, you know, I said, are more people walking out now or complaining or this and that? And they go, no. They go, actually, not at all. They go, you know, people research the comics before they come in, and the people that don't, you know, don't like comedy usually don't come to a comedy club.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's so much, so easy to see, oh, who's on the show? Let me go look at some clips on YouTube. Every comedian's got some. So then they realize, all right, this comedy's not for me. So it's really not happening, which is great.
It's good news.
It is good news.
Yeah, because people, that's just, you know, you got to realize with Twitter starts all this shit. Now, there's 20% of people are on Twitter. There's 80% of the whole world is not on Twitter. And only 10% actually engage on Twitter, like fight with people back and forth and fucking this and that. So you get, but meanwhile, everyone goes to Twitter. And if there's some crazy thing that happens on Twitter, then it makes the news and it goes on every other site. Like, oh, this is crazy. What's going on? I'm like, nobody even knows what's going on.
I have
seven brothers and sisters and 13 nieces and nephews, and two of them out of 20 are on Twitter.
Yeah,
they don't fight with anyone. They just go, yeah, just go on there to follow like a CNN and stuff like that, and ESPN and stuff, and just check sports and news.
It's a weird thing because I feel like if I'm not on there, I don't know what's going on. But at the same time, if I go on there, the things that are going on irritate me, and I wish I just would delete the that damn website off my phone and be done with it. But
Well, no, it is good. Look, if you're doing a podcast, you need to be on there. You need to know what's going on, you know? And so I'm on there too. And plus, you know, yeah. Well, look, the news organizations that I follow or the sports or the heavy metal sites and stuff like that, it's great for that. Right. So I go on there to kind of get news. It's almost like a newspaper, you know, on your phone, basically. So, you know, it's good for that. If you're in the business and, you know, you gotta know kind of what's going on, you need to be on there.
But that kid that got thrown off the third story of the Mall of America, I was just trying to find out, is the kid okay? And there's
got what?
Did you hear about the kid that got thrown off the third story of Mall of America?
Yeah.
I was trying to find out if the kid was okay. Some people were saying he was stable. Some people were saying he was dead. Some people were saying that the perpetrator was a guy from where was he from, Travis?
I don't know. They're trying to tie it to terrorism.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And like I couldn't just get the straight news. It was so frustrating. But
well, look, that was supposedly that guy was one of these guys that said he used to go to the mall and he never got laid and he was angry. So he went there to kill somebody.
Yeah. Well,
but what
that's what I heard. Like there's a whole generation of these young guys that, you know, got rejected by these women. And then, you know, like, you know, that guy I shot up in, what was it? Santa Barbara.
Jim, isn't it
California and a couple other guys.
Isn't it incredibly easy to get laid now? I can't imagine it's difficult. There's websites.
It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier, absolutely, with the apps now.
I mean, even if you're a weird gross person, you just find another weird gross person. There's probably weird gross people websites.
It's way easier now than, you know, before you had to go to a bar and get a phone number and, you know, you had to take a girl on a date. You know, I remember, you know, I used to have to go pick a girl up at her house, take her on a date, like maybe get some food and go to a movie. And then I had to drop her back off at her house, you know, where the parents waiting up for her. I'm like, how am I going to get laid doing that? And right. That was like the first date.
Yeah. And you're out your entire week's worth of paycheck because you're probably bussing tables or something at the time. And it's like, well, fuck, now I'm broke. Absolutely. And I didn't get laid.
Yeah, exactly. And you're lucky if you got some tit.
You were really lucky. That was the best really night lucky. Ever if you could get home with
you were kind of just hoping that when you put your arm around her that like you just grazed the side of a breast.
Yeah. Exactly. If you got that in a movie, you know, when she let you do that, you're like, okay, this is worth it.
That was a good
worth
night.
74% of my paycheck.
Guys, the new Jim Florentine special is out now. It's I Got the House. It's on iTunes. It's on jimflorentine.com. Jim.
You can rent it on Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime?
Wherever. It's everywhere but Netflix.
That's good. You probably don't make any money off of Netflix. Let's get that going here everywhere else.
Well, you do. I mean, you do. I guess, you know, Netflix will give you a one lump sum for a special, but, you know, unless I'm a black transgender lesbian, I got no shot.
Right. And you're on tour. You got some dates coming up. I'll post those in the chat. And they're also available on your website, jimflorentine.com.
Jim, thanks a lot for spending some time with us. We appreciate it. We should do it again sometime.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on.
Take care.
Thanks, Jim.
Travis.
Love the Jim Florentine.
Hey, Travis, I hate to be repetitive, but I like Jim Florentine.
So,
yeah.
Nice guy, that guy.